Tinny Tooville was feeling ever so slightly guilty, which she assured herself as she picked her way through the tangled briars at the edge of the greenwood was silly, because, after all, Mordack was a goblin. True, she'd somehow managed to tolerate him during the time she'd been working for him. An elf working for a goblin, enough said. And maybe he wasn't quite like other goblins, but even so. It was high time she made her mind up about where her loyalties really lay. The tips of her ears, where the upper flange of the lobe swoops upwards towards the point, were burning. She knew what that meant, and ears never lie. She scowled. The whole purpose of the exercise, she told herself, had been to exercise a restraining and civilizing influence on goblin kind by insinuating herself into the very nerve centre of goblin power. That, and earning 5 times what she'd have got doing the same work in Elvenhome, assuming she could ever have got such a plum job back home, which, with her resume, she couldn't. But that was just an incidental benefit. And boy, had she earned every last cartwheel-sized gold piece, putting up with all that ignorance and crass stupidity and the smell. And now, she picked a trailing strand of briar carefully out of her hair, the moment things started getting a bit awkward, what was the first thing Mordack had done? Taken his entire horde off to invade Elvenhome. Well, not actually invade. Before she'd made her strategic withdrawal, she'd heard Mordack telling the assembled host precisely what he planned to do to any goblin who drew a bowstring or levelled a spear without a direct order from him. And it did occur to her to wonder whether the High Elf would have made a similar speech had the position been reversed. But that was apples and oranges, of course, because elves are nothing like goblins. If goblins charge into elf turf, it's indefensible aggression. If elves do it, it's a surgical preemptive strike. All the difference in the world. Of course. Elves can't get lost in the greenwood, any more than fish can drown in water. Even so, she realized that she wasn't exactly, precisely, 110% sure where she was. She stopped and looked round for a landmark. Then she remembered. Over there somewhere was the old wizard's tower, where the ghastly new humans had moved in. And over there was where the 2 even ghastlier humans had demonstrated the vicar's weapon. So, she had in fact come the right way, but the way she'd come was the indirect right way rather than the direct right way. And if she wanted to get back on the direct right way, it'd probably be a good idea, an even better idea, to retrace her steps 1/2 mile or so. She saw something lying at the foot of a tree. It looked depressingly like a dead body. Drat, she thought. It started already. If a war had broken out between the goblins and the elves, it definitely wasn't her fault. And if it wasn't her fault, it wasn't her business either. So she'd be entirely justified in ignoring it and walking away reasonably fast. On the other hand, it wasn't lost on her that she was now out of a job. And, like all her race, what she really wanted to do more than anything else in the whole world was to write for the newspapers. An exclusive report on the very first engagement of the war would be worth good money to the editor of the beautiful golden face. Cautiously, she edged forward and bent down to peer. Not an elf, that was for sure. But apparently, not a goblin either. Well, for a start, it was twice the size of any goblin she'd ever seen. And it looked, well, not completely different, but different enough to be going on with. She considered the mouth and the claws and the hair. Then she made the connection. Mordak's idiotic female goblin project. She nudged the corpse with her toe. Ah, well, it had been a silly idea from the outset, and obviously it had come to nothing. Presumably the poor thing had finally succumbed to massive genetic impossibility and simply stopped working. The only remarkable thing was that it had lasted long enough to grow this big. Just another goblin. Even so. She knelt down beside it. It had changed a lot since the last time she'd seen it. Bigger, taller, bulkier. But also somehow less goblin. If that made any sense at all. Ah, well. Just another of Mordak's good ideas at the time. And just because he always failed miserably didn't necessarily mean that he was always completely wrong to try. Was it she actually dead? She looked dead, all right. But you can't always tell with goblins, among whom looking not just dead, but badly decomposed is an essential fashion statement. She didn't seem to be breathing. But goblins can hold their breath for a ridiculously long time, just possibly because of the smell of other goblins. And bear in mind that this one was the prototype, about whom virtually nothing was known. Tinnituvial stood up and looked round until she found the broad, fleshy leaf of a marshmallow tree. She wrapped this carefully around the toe of her shoe, then gave the slumped body a sharp kick in the ribs. Elves have exceptional reflexes. She just managed to whisk her ankle out of the way in time. Right then. Get up, she said. The she-goblin opened her eyes and gazed at her. You kicked me. Purely for your own good. I wanted to see if you're dead or not. You're an elf. Tinnituvial sighed. Bred in the bone, obviously. So typical of goblins to have such deep-rooted, knee-jerk prejudices. What are you doing out here? She said. The she-goblin thought for a moment. I'm not sure, she said. I was in a small room for a long time, and then a strange lady brought me outside, and then my friend... She stopped. My friend... You've got a friend? Good heavens. He killed me, the she-goblin said. And just for a split second, Tinnituvial felt something which, if applied to any other creature in the realms, could have been mistaken for pity. He said he liked me, and then he found a human, and he liked the human more than me, so he...
Human.
The she-goblin nodded.
I don't understand, she said. Why would my friend like the human more than me? He's skinny and weak, and he hasn't got claws. He couldn't even remember his name till my friend did something to inside his head. I don't understand. Why doesn't my friend like me any more?
Tinnituvial gave her what she fondly imagined was a comforting smile. "Because you're horrible," she said. "But that's not your fault. You were born like it."
"Oh."
The she-goblin thought for a moment.
"Will you be my friend?"
"No," said Tinnituvial. "Not for all the bylines in Elvenhome." "However," she went on, as the she-goblin made a really horrible snuffling noise, "I might just make a supreme effort and try and like you a little tiny bit, if you tell me all about this friend of yours and the human. They sound interesting." So the she-goblin told her, and the more she heard, the more thoughtful Tinnituvial became. And when the whole sad story was over, she said, "And this human, what did you say his name was?"
"Theo Bernstein."
"Weird name. And he said he'd been in the old wizard's tower?"
"That's right. There was something important he was supposed to do in there, but it hadn't worked. And my friend wanted him to go back there and try again."
The old wizard's tower. So she'd been right after all. What she'd been right about, she wasn't absolutely sure. But that didn't matter particularly.
"You haven't seen two other humans? A little old one and a young thin one who eats all the time?"
"No."
"Well, that's something, I suppose.
This human, the one your friend liked more than you."
She described the crazy man she'd met earlier, when she was trying to catch up with the goblins, before she... well, whatever. "That him?" The she-goblin somehow managed to look even more stupid than she usually did.
"It could be. I don't know. I've only ever seen one human. But it does sound like him."
The lunatic.
"I don't think he was mad," the she-goblin said. "Or, at least, not until my friend got inside his head."
She remembered something.
"He lost his memory, and my friend found it for him."
Tinnituvial sighed. Clearly she was going to have to go to the old wizard's tower, and although elves are afraid of nothing, well, virtually nothing, absolutely nothing apart from scary things, it did seem a distinct possibility that the situation might get a bit vexed, possibly even violent. Which was fine, just so long as the violence happened to other people. In which case, the company of someone with the biggest shoulders and sharpest teeth in the realms might not be quite so irksome after all. "I've changed my mind," she said briskly. "I think we're going to be best friends forever. I really like you."
"You didn't a moment ago."
"Well, I changed my mind, you half-witted freak. I can change my mind if I want to." She paused and breathed out through her nose, sweetness and calm. "You want to be friends or not?"
"Yes, please."
"Fine," Tinnituvial snapped. "In which case, on your feet. We've got work to do. Oh, and by the way, if you're going to be my friend, you can't be friends with anyone else. And especially the voice in the mirror person. Got that? You're not his friend anymore. In fact, you hate him to bits."
"Oh."
The she-goblin looked sad for a moment.
Oh, all right, if you say so.
She thought for a moment.
Is that how it works then? You can only have one friend at a time, and you've got to hate everybody else.
Tinny Toolville smiled. All elves are wise, and so she knew precisely how to explain to a member of an inferior species the intricacies of any question, problem, or issue, no matter how complex or confusing it might be.
Shut up, she said. All right,
said the she-goblin.
I won't say another...
She stopped dead, dropped to her knees, and rolled over onto her face.
Oh, for crying out loud, Tinny Toolville wailed. Now what?
She knelt down beside the motionless goblin, who didn't seem to be breathing.
Will you please make your mind up once and for all? Are you dead or aren't you?
Nothing. Then the she-goblin shuddered, kicked out uncontrollably, rolled over and over several times, and sat up with a jerk. Her eyes were tight shut, and she appeared to be breathing through her ears.
I'll take that as a no, then, Tinny Toolville said.
Hello? Anybody home? The she-goblin twisted her neck round much too far to begin with, and there was a horrible grating of neck bones and gristle before she seemed to realize her mistake and turned it back the other way. She looked straight at Tinny Toolville and smiled.
Sorry, she said. I tripped on a tree root.
The she-goblin's left eye was gleaming. Are you all right? Tinny Toolville asked.
Me? Fine. Never better.
She leapt up, landing on the balls of her feet in a slight forward crouch.
Well, let's get going. I mean, I don't want to hold you up.
A few fine hairs stood up on the back of Tinny Toolville's neck.
Are you sure you're feeling all right? I just said so, didn't I? Only, are we going or aren't we?
Tinny Toolville looked at her carefully this time.
You seem awfully keen. Well, there'll be lots of people there, and maybe some of them will want to be friends with me.
Why would there be people there?
Because I saw...
The goblin stopped dead.
I sort of think there might.
And you're going there? And you wouldn't if it was just an empty old tower, not a clever elf like you.
I expect you want to do a few in-depth interviews. That kind of thing.
She's reading my mind.
No, impossible. Even elves couldn't do that.
Though it didn't stop them pretending they could to anyone gullible enough to believe them. And she did seem quite convinced that there'd be a crowd at the old tower, almost as though she'd been there not so long ago and had seen them for herself.
Get a grip, Tinny Toolville urged herself. It's a goblin.
It can barely put one foot in front of the other without falling flat on its snout. Also, being a goblin, it talks drivel. That's what they do.
It's none of your business what I'm going to do when I get there, she said. I just want you along for the pleasure of your company. Now stop dawdling and move.
Actually, the goblin moved rather fast, to the extent that Tinny Toolville was unaccountably short of breath by the time they reached the tower. And just as the goblin had predicted, there were a lot of people there. Elves and goblins and dwarves. and though they were standing tightly packed together in heavily armed groups, nobody was fighting with anybody else. She stopped and took a good look. Partly formed headlines racing through her mind. What was all this anyhow? A standoff? Peace talks? I guess the weight of the fat human with the axe competition? She caught sight of King Mordek, sitting under a tree with a weird-looking human, and apparently not eating him. She was torn. There was Mordek talking seriously to someone, in which case it could well be something important. In which case, she really ought to go over and join him before he made a complete and utter mess of things, whatever they were. On the other hand, she had sort of skipped out and run away when arguably he needed her most. And although, of course, she wasn't ashamed or anything, oh dear no. Nevertheless, it might be a tad awkward.